Now, dig this. Now, this letter was written August the 15th, 1970. But boy, have I been busy. And then, you know, I never write a letter unless I check it. And just as I finished the letter on this date, up in there, the next day I wanted to mail it. And a call come in the office that Duke Ellington had passed out on his job at the Rainbow Room. And that evening they called me. Duke had to appear on the David Frost TV show. And they asked me, could I substitute for him, you see? So I had to put the letter down because I hadn't finished checking. And little delays like that, you know, you can't help it. So I hope you haven't sent in the last edition for the book. Because I think this is important for you to wait till you get it, you know. Like the old saying, Max, better late than never. You understand, Daddy? So here it is, and here's what I wrote to you. August the 15th, 1970. Dear Max, I'm sorry to have held you up from the delay in my writing, but I have been busier than a cat on a tin roof. You know, he's a busy cat. I'm rehearsing, blowing the trumpet, and getting ready to open at the International Hotel for 2 weeks, sharing the bill with the great Pearl Bailey. I will have my original All-Stars with me. We are rehearsing twice a week at my house. My doctor came to our last rehearsal to hear me blow, and he was perfectly satisfied. Also, he examined me thoroughly to see if my blowing affected the old ticker, you know. And the beats were perfectly normal. Yeah. I shall try to answer all of your questions. Seem like a million to me at this moment. But anyways, Daddy, for you, you know, my boy, here goes. Now, the school that you asked about was in Little Rock, Arkansas. I was in North Dakota at the time. I'm still trying to remember exactly what happened in Alabama. After all, there was so much happening during my life and travels, etc. And they were happening so fast until they ran through my head just like water on a duck's back. You dig? But I'm sure that you'll have all the rest of the answers in the bag. That's right. I'm sure you'll have all the rest of the answers in the bag. And other incidents also are three incidents that I may think of. You know what I want to say? I want to say, any other incidents or three incidents that I may think of, I'll do the same as I will gladly write to you again. and lay it on you. And stipulate it in the letter. You hear? Now, the incident concerning Coleman Hawkins and I doing a concert in London at the time that we were blowing there. Everyone should remember why the concert didn't come off. Here's why. Hawkins was with Jack Hilton, a big man from New York. So was I from New York. So Hawk didn't think that I was big enough to share a concert or such a, you know, top billing, you know, equal. He didn't think I was big enough for him to share top billing with me. I did some funky shit. So he and his handlers, whoever they were, they did nothing more than mention the concert, and that was all that happened to that shit. I ran across Hawkins in New York City, and we were so glad to see each other. We didn't mention England at all. Dig that shit. So you see, it was all bullshit at the start. You know? When I came out of the Waves home, I stayed a while with my father, Willie, and his other wife and family. He had another wife named Gertrude, a nice woman. She thought quite a bit about me. She liked me pretty good. And I thought she was a nice chick, you know. And I really liked her. She and my father had two boys and a girl. So I stayed with them for a while when I first got out of the Waves home. But I commenced to getting a lonesome, you know what I mean, I got lonesome for my mother, Mary Ann. And Mary Ann, you know, that's her nickname. And my sister, Beatrice, who they call Mama Lucy for nickname. And before I realized it, I was back living with them again and happy as could be in that great big room where the three of us were so happily, and we lived there so happily. So very long. All of my memories, those were my choice. Except my dragging my attention. Where in the hell I was. Of all of my memories, those were my choice. I think. I scribbled it down so I could remember the rudiments, you know. And I'm running over myself here. But anyway, you got it on paper, so that makes a difference. I'm putting it on tape for my posterity, choice, I think. Now, you dig what I said? Of all of my memories, those were my choices. That was my choice one, I think. Now, on Oliver and Lil's part, speaking of them, I know she had a lot of questions asking about some crazy shit they went through my life with. Anyway, let's get this straight. On Oliver and Lil's part, lots of outside people tried to interfere with Lil and I marriage, which I personally think and thought was unfair. After all, the woman was my wife, and anything that she did, if she did, and even if she did engineered my life, she had a perfect right to. We married, and we heard the preacher when he said to us, love, honor, and obey. And to me, that's what was happening when all of those conniving, inquisitive, two-faced people started interfering in Lil and I's personal love and business, you know, our own business, etc. We were both young, and Lil with the better education, we would live with the better education and experience. She only did what any wife that's interested in her husband would do. Everything Lil bought for me were the very best clothes and suggestions, etc. were all perfect. I appreciate them all. I really do. I listened very carefully when Lil told me to always play the lead. Play second trumpet to no one. They don't come great enough. She proved it. Yes, sir. She proved that she was right, didn't she? You're damn right she did. The guys who call me henpeck all the time, they did it. I know it. But they were broke all the time. And I always had a pocket full of money. He said, over for me and shit, let them see what they want. I had everything I want and the best. And Lil saw that. And them savages got there, ragged in a bowl of slaw, man, trying to give me hell. You know, I'm sharp as a wedding dick. And this Joe Oliver, you know how much I love Joe Oliver, regardless of all that other crap, but still and all, he did make a statement to Lil during a conversation. He said, as long as little Louis is with me, he can't hurt me. Right away, Lil got to, Right away, Lil got behind me when she told me this and said, when she told me that, that did it. With a thought like that in King Oliver's mind, as much as you idolize him, is what you say. As much as you idolize him, Daddy, you must leave him immediately. Because King Oliver and his ego and wounded vanities make hurt and may hurt your pride. And to me, she said, it's all indications that King Oliver's trying to hold you back. Yes. I must be very quiet because I didn't say a mumbling word. I didn't say a mumbling word. Even after she told me, I didn't say nothing. I just split, that's all. Lil spoke, and that was it. And I don't regret it today. It proved all indication that the woman was in my corner at all time. In fact, all four wives I had, they poured their heart out somewhere down the line that I'll never forget. It goes for Daisy, Alpha, Lil, and the one I treasured now and my jewel, Lucille. See what I mean? Now, you, 1924, yes, I did leave Fletcher Anderson's band. I stayed and tolerated those fellas in their cutting ups on the bandstand. See, instead of playing their music right, I stood along the court until I gave Fletcher my notice and joined Lil at the Dreamland in Chicago. Oh, I was so much relieved and happy over that. The fella, excuse me, goddamn caviar. The fellas in Fletcher's band had such big heads until. Boy, you talking about such big heads until even if they miss a note, so what? When I talked to Lil on the phone and told her what was happening, she immediately said, "Come on home. I have a good job for you playing first cornet in my band." Which was an elevation to me. Fletcher only let me play third cornet in his band the whole time that I was in his band. Dig that shit. He'd only give me 16 bars, the most to get off with. But he let me hit the high. Oh, come on now. I got to tell her like it is, or like it was, or something. But he kissed my, but he'd, you know what I want to say? After giving them 16 to get off, you know? But he let me hit those high notes that the big McGaffers, you know, the prima donnas, first chairman couldn't hit. Wait a while now. And here's a funny thing. Every time he'd give me credit for hitting a note, he always had a little, pep talk for me. He said, "Bon, that was wonderful. Say, you know one thing? You'd be very good if you go and take some lessons and all that." Yeah, I know what's happening. I'm for him, but he didn't dig me, so the hell with it. You know? There's something else I want to say. I was always hitting them notes that them cats couldn't hit. You know? And with me, singing was out. I'm telling you. As Fletcher were concerned, singing was out the whole time I was in his band. He wouldn't listen to me sing, nothing. All the singing that I did before I joined Fletcher Henderson's band went down the drain the whole time that I was with him. So you can imagine how glad that I was to join my wife Lil and her fine band. She had a damn good band. To me, it was better than Fletcher's. That's right. Other than those big arrangements that Don Redman were making, I wasn't moved very much with them, too much airs and all that shit.